Ephesians 6. In a moment, I'll read verses 10 through 17, and the sermon is from the first part of verse 17. When poor sinners like us have been brought by the grace of our merciful, loving God out of darkness and into His marvelous light, as we have been, and when such saved sinners have been taught the Savior's gospel and His law, His commands, as we have been, the Bible tells us that attacks from the devil and his demons are sure to come, and perhaps are even ongoing among us now. Those attacks are intended to get you to do two things. One, stop believing the truth of the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And two, stop obeying the law of God, the commands of Jesus Christ. The devil has not been able to stop you hearing the truth. You've heard it. As a matter of fact, you have heard it many times and in some detail. And then over the last few years, you've been attendant on discourses through the book of Ephesians as well as other lessons. And you've seen it all laid out before you in the scriptures. He's not been able to stop you hearing the truth, but in his rage against God's people, he tries to stop you believing what you've heard. He's not been able to stop you being taught to obey all things that Christ commands you. That's the part of the commission that the Lord Jesus gave to his church. When someone has heard the good news, trusted in Christ, turning from sin to become his disciple, been baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, then the church is to teach the disciple all to obey all things that the Lord Jesus commanded. And the devil has not been able to stop you being taught by the church to obey everything Christ has commanded. In many ways, at many times, you've been taught the Lord's commands, and specifically, over the last couple of years, in discourses on the Lord's Day, you've had the Lord Jesus' commands laid before you as presented in the second half of the book of Ephesians. But with the traps that he knows how to set for people, and with the fiery arrows that he knows how to shoot at God's people, he constantly tries to keep you from obeying those commands that you have been taught. Now, to resist temptation from such foes as the devil and his demons, whom you cannot see even when they are launching attacks against you, you must be strengthened in the Lord, in the power of His might. You must put on Christ, all His graces, the whole armor of God, so that you can resist the devil, so that you can take your stand against his schemes and remain in faith and obedience. Our Lord's Apostle Paul has instructed us in this in Ephesians and also elsewhere in the scriptures by the metaphor of a soldier putting on all his armor. We've been studying into this for the past several weeks. Last time we came to the doctrine of taking the helmet of salvation. What Paul means there by, and you remember from last week, if you were here and not out sick, I judged it was too much material for one sermon, so we took just the concept of salvation. What Paul means by salvation when he writes about taking the helmet of salvation. And I'll review that briefly to bring it to mind for those who were here, and then to lay it out in front of those of you who didn't get to hear it last week, but just very briefly. What salvation is, the basic concept stated in simple terms in three parts. Salvation is being delivered, being preserved, being rescued, being saved from some bad condition or situation by some method or other, to some good condition or situation. For example, classic case of people needing to be saved, shipwrecked sailors floating in the freezing waters, saved from the bad condition of being in the cold water, about to die by hypothermia or drowning, saved by the method of being pulled out of the water, brought aboard a boat, and then a ship, dried off, made warm, given cocoa and something to eat, saved to home and family ashore. So there it is, the concept of salvation, just in general terms. But then what salvation is for the Christian in the doctrine of the helmet of salvation? Salvation from the wrath of God that is coming on the disobedient when the Lord Jesus comes back. Salvation by God's grace poured out on us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ working for us, and by His Holy Spirit working in us. Salvation to a rich inheritance consisting of a share in all good things in heaven and earth, especially the privilege of being with God, enjoying eternal life with Him, which inheritance we have the promise of now, we'll have the full enjoyment of when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us. That was the material we looked at last time. The nature of salvation when Paul talks about the helmet of salvation. So today we consider what it is to take the helmet of salvation. To put on salvation as a helmet. To be strengthened in the Lord by taking the helmet of salvation as part of putting on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. What it is to take the helmet of salvation, stated what I hope is simply, and the way I came up with this is I, as you know from last time, I looked into what is salvation, you know, just being saved in any sense, just generally. What is salvation? I looked into Ephesians, especially in Paul's other letters, seeing, you know, what you're saved from, what you're saved by, what you're saved to. And so then, what it is to take the helmet of salvation, I have put together what I found the scriptures to be teaching, mostly trying to look in Ephesians and Paul's other letters to stay close to the, in the closest context possible. So I'm going to state, hopefully very simply, what it is to take the helmet of salvation. To take the helmet of salvation has to do with our thoughts, how we think, what our mindset is. Salvation, taking the helmet of salvation, is to think about resisting the devil's temptations as having salvation for the reason. Resisting the devil's temptations because of salvation. Salvation, therefore, we resist the devil's temptations. Why resist the devil's temptations? Because of salvation. Salvation, and for that reason, resistance to the devil's temptations. I don't want to introduce any confusion as if I mean that Christians are going to resist the devil's temptations in order to try to earn salvation. I don't mean it in that sense at all. We resist the devil when he tempts us because of salvation. There is salvation. Therefore, we resist the devil. Why do we resist the devil? Salvation. We resist temptation, for there is salvation. To take the helmet is to think like this. And you can see it in the Bible in two, it works logically, and you see it in the scriptures in two different orders. I'll tell it to you in both. Either with, I will resist because of salvation, or you can say it the other way. Salvation, therefore I resist the temptations of the devil. I'll put it to you in both of those orders. First, resistance to the devil stated first, then salvation as the reason. I will stand against any temptation not to believe what he has told me in the gospel and not to obey what he has commanded me in his law, because God has saved me. He has saved me from his wrath, which wrath comes on sinners because of the very sins the devil is tempting me to. God has saved me by his grace through the work of Jesus Christ dying for me on the cross and the work of the Holy Spirit regenerating me in my heart so that I would turn from sin and trust in Christ. And because God has saved me to a glorious inheritance in Jesus Christ when he comes back. Now, stated the other way around, and in terms more explicitly about our Lord Jesus Christ. To take the helmet of salvation is to have this mindset, to think this way. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, saved me from the wrath of God because of my sins. The wrath of God was upon me for the very sins the devil is trying to tempt me to commit. And my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saved me by living the perfect righteous life in which he stood fast against the devil and never did any of the sins to which the devil tempted him. He, in his righteous life, did not do what the devil is now tempting me to do. The Lord Jesus saved me by dying on the cross for me, taking the wrath of God upon himself. And why was the wrath of God upon him? Because he had taken upon himself my sins, those sins that now the devil is trying to get me to go back to. The Lord Jesus saved me by preaching the gospel to me, telling me to turn from my sins, the sins which I am being tempted by the devil now to repeat, and promising me forgiveness of my sins by his blood shed. Which sins I needed forgiveness of, the devil is now trying to tempt me to do some more of. The Lord Jesus saved me by sending his Holy Spirit to change me on the inside, to give me a new birth, a new heart, to regenerate me, to make me hate my sins and love the righteousness of God's law, which the devil is now tempting me to act the reverse of, as if I love my sins and hate God's law. But the Holy Spirit has made it the opposite to be true. And the Holy Spirit created in me true saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, saved me from the wrath of God He saved me by those things I just mentioned, and he saved me to an unspeakably rich inheritance. One of the most beautiful jewels of which is that he is going to remove from me all remaining sin. The very sin that the devil is now tempting me to commit. And he will share with me the home in heaven that he has prepared for me, in which home there will be no sin, and all sin will be excluded, and those who remain in sin will be cast out and not be included in. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has saved me from the wrath of God, saved me by what I described there in those several terms, saved me to that wonderful inheritance where there is no sin. Therefore, remember I told you, putting on the salvation as a helmet involves thinking of salvation as the reason why we don't sin. Therefore, I will resist. I will stand against all of Satan's temptations. I will believe what my Savior has told me in the gospel, no matter what half-truth lies the devil tries to feed me. I will obey what my Savior has commanded me in his law, no matter what kind of lawlessness the devil tempts me to. So to take the helmet of salvation is to think or have the mindset of standing against the devil as being because of salvation. Now, I've put that to you in terms that I assembled that it seemed to me would be simple and clear to everyone. But I didn't just make that up. I'm taking that from the way the scriptures communicate that to us. So I'm going to show you a couple of places in Paul's letters where that thing comes out, and see, you can see how it occurs naturally in his doctrine. I'm going to look first in Titus chapter 3. I invite you to look at it with me if you would like to. Of course, you wouldn't have to. I'll read it aloud. Titus chapter 3, same apostle, writing individually to Titus, but also through him to the churches there where Titus was and to all of us. So you're going to see here what it is to take the helmet of salvation as it shows up naturally in the scriptures. First, as to obeying the Lord's commands, his law. Remember, I have asserted to you that the two things the devil is tempting us to is to not believe the truths of the gospel and not obey the commands of Christ. And here we see a case where the point is the obeying of the commands of Christ. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I'll first read the whole passage to you aloud, then go back and show you what I'm teaching you from it. Remind them, meaning the Christians, us, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now you probably noticed in there several of the terms that have made up the discussion so far about salvation in Ephesians. But let me point it out to you. The resistance to the devil, the standing against him, the obeying Christ instead of succumbing to the temptations by the devil not to obey, shows up here in verses 1 and 2. You see, being subject to rulers and authorities, obeying, being ready to do every good work, speaking evil of no one, being peaceable, being gentle, showing all humility to all men. That is a description of the Christian standing against the wiles of the devil, resisting temptation to disobey the commands of Christ. Tempted by the devil to rebel and disobey, we instead submit and obey. And it's followed then by the reason why we would do that, which appears in verse 3 right at the beginning, in the word for. Because, for this reason, for we ourselves have been saved. You see, we have been saved from, and it lists it there in verse 3, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, we were like that. And remember from elsewhere, the wrath of God comes on people because of those sins. It's because of these things the wrath of God comes. And verses 4 to 6, because we have been saved by. And then it says what? The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man, His mercy, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, which I take to mean there was going to be no washing of regeneration and renewal except that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, lived His perfect life and died on the cross, which then was the basis for this sending of the Holy Spirit of renewal for sinners. Saved from, saved by, and because we have been saved to, and you see that then in verse 7, we've been justified by His grace. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've been saved from that horrible condition of sinfulness. We've been saved by this gracious, loving work of God by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. And we've been saved to the inheritance of eternal life. And so there you see this doctrine that I'm talking about in Paul's conception of obeying Christ in resistance to the devil's temptations, the reason being salvation. We've been saved from, by, and to, therefore, we submit instead of rebel. Now I'll point your attention to another place in the scriptures. 2 Thessalonians, which is just a few pages to the left of where we are. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Now, to make sure that you've still got your bearings in what I'm explaining, remember that it's very obvious that when the devil tempts us, he tempts us in two ways. Not to believe the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the other things in the scriptures, and not to obey the law of God and commands of Christ. I just showed you a case where the scriptures took up salvation as the reason to obey, to resist the devil's temptations to disobey. Now I'm going to show you a case where the scriptures talks about salvation as the reason to believe, to resist the devil's temptations not to believe the truths of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 12 to 15, I'll read you the passage first, and then go back and explain like before. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our letter. Now, in this case, the reason is stated first. Salvation is stated first as the reason. And then the resistance to the devil's temptations is stated second. Remember, in the other example, it was the other way. Resistance to the devil's temptations was stated first, then the reason given as salvation. In this case, the reason stated first. God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation from the condemnation that comes on those who do not believe. And I see that there in verses 12 and 13. See, in verse 12, all are condemned who do not believe the truth about Jesus Christ, but just continue in the pleasure of the flesh. But God has saved the believers in Christ from that. From the beginning, He chose you for such salvation. So the reason? Because God has saved you from. And then, God saved you by or through. And this comes out in verses 13 and 14. He saved you by sanctification by the Spirit, by belief in the truth. He saved you through belief in the truth, that is, faith in the truth, trust in Jesus Christ, and saved you by or through the gospel, which is how you came to know that truth of Jesus Christ, which you now believe. The reason is being stated. Salvation. Salvation from the condemnation that comes on the wicked. Salvation by this work of God. And then salvation for or to, which comes out in verse 14, to which He called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when He says the glory, obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's another way of referring to the glory of that great inheritance that the saints have in Jesus Christ. So the reason is stated first. God from the beginning chose you for salvation from the condemnation. Salvation by sanctification, faith in the truth, the gospel. God chose you for salvation for or to obtaining the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, the reason having been stated, then resistance to the devil is shown as the logical conclusion. Verse 15. Therefore, brethren, you know, because of this reason just stated, salvation, therefore, brethren, stand fast or stand firm, very similar to our language from Ephesians about standing in the whole armor of God against the devil's attacks. And look at what that standing firm consists of in this case. Hold the traditions which you were taught. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if your parents, you know, always ate beans and rice on Sunday evening, then you better eat beans and rice Sunday evening because that's a tradition you were taught. Not at all meaning just traditions in general. See what he says there, whether by word or our letter, meaning traditions that came to you by the apostles, if you had the privilege of knowing any of the apostles personally and heard them speaking in your presence, or, as is the case with so many more people, by our epistle, our letter. You have had the writings of the apostles inspired by the Holy Spirit, so you know the traditions that way. Those traditions, not just any traditions, and not meaning at all man-made traditions. the apostolic traditions, which are the true and righteous traditions from our Lord Jesus Christ by his apostles. You are saved. There is salvation from God, from, by, and to. Therefore, stand against the devil in this form. Hold firm to the truth taught by the apostles in person and in their letters. So to take the helmet of salvation is to think, to have the mindset that standing against the devil is because of salvation. I'm saved by God from, saved by God by this means in Jesus Christ, saved to that glorious inheritance. And that is the reason, one of the reasons, that is one of the reasons that I will stand against the devil instead of succumbing when he tempts me. Stand against the devil, my dear brothers and sisters, having your loins girded about with truth, no longer deceived by your lusts into doing those evil things which then you want to keep hidden by lies because those things are evil. Instead, know the truth about what the will of God is and repent from your sins so as to act openly according to the truth, as does our Lord Jesus Christ at all times. No longer deceived by false teachers into believing wrongly, but instead knowing the truth about the law of God and the gospel and everything else the scriptures teach us, and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ according to that truth. So having your loins girded about with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The constant endeavor by the Christian to know the will of God and obey it as expressed in his perfect law, which defines what righteousness is. The lifestyle of obedience to the commands of Jesus Christ. The mindset of evaluating what you think, say, and do by the divine law of love as set forth in the Ten Commandments and more broadly in the whole Bible as set forth in the two great commandments, to love God and love your neighbor, as set forth in the golden rule, whatever you would have men do to you, do also unto them. The constant endeavor to know the law of God and to do it in righteousness. Judge in your conscience that the thing to do every time is to set yourself to knowing and doing what is right, what is righteous according to the law of God, according to the commands of Christ, and determine in your will that whatever is righteous, that's what we do. Whatever is lawless, that we never do. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation or readiness of the gospel of peace, a preparation or readiness to do the good works commanded in the Word of God based on the truth of God's saving grace as taught us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I notice is very similar in concept to what we've studied in the helmet of salvation. Taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That is, trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is a shield to all those who trust in him, so that we may be able to stay in the faith, believing what we've been taught, and walking as we've been commanded, especially as we've seen here in Ephesians, we trust in the Lord, specifically in what the Lord has told us in His Word, teaching us the truth about salvation in Jesus Christ, and about how the Lord commands us to walk. When we trust in Him according to His Word, we find that He Himself is our shield. And taking the helmet of salvation. Being renewed in mind so that we think about standing against the devil's temptations in terms of salvation. I am saved from God's wrath upon those sins. I'm saved by God's grace in Jesus Christ, who didn't commit those sins and then died for those sins. I'm saved to the rich inheritance I will have in Jesus Christ when He comes back and changes me so that I no longer have any of those sins tempting me for all eternity. So I will not disbelieve the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ that has been preached to me, knowing that inasmuch as I see that it is from the Scriptures. And I will not disobey the commands of Jesus Christ that have been taught to me, inasmuch as they are the actual commands of Christ from the Scriptures. Did you notice the pattern? It comes up in every one of these. I'm suspicious of myself. It could be that as I was analyzing this over these past weeks and months, I basically had only one thing in mind: believing the truths of the gospel and obeying the Lord's commands, and therefore I imposed that on every item in the armor. I'm suspicious of myself that I could have done that. But as far as I can tell, it's not that. It's backward of that. That is the essence of the doctrine of the whole armor of God, and so we're seeing it come up in every case. If you've been here for all of this or most of this, you have observed that every time I open this, I don't start saying to you things like, the armor of the Roman soldier was like this, and it served as this, and therefore we know that the Bible means this. I don't think that is entirely without merit. That might be helpful in some ways. But I wasn't ever sure that I would know that that's what was meant. And so I didn't work from that direction. And you'll also notice that I didn't stand up here and say, you know, the shield of faith, which I think means, and then I started just, you know, telling you whatever I had said or whatever. What I've been doing with you these weeks is laboring to show you from as close to the context as possible, from right in Ephesians, if possible, what the apostle means by these things. If he makes obvious reference to Old Testament scriptures, going there and picking those up, I've been laboring to try to show you this. And how I do this, so that you may do it also, deriving from the Scriptures what is meant by these various pieces of armor, metaphorically. And it seems that in every case, it's a different angle or different approach, all to the same thing, which is, by God's grace we have been told the truth about how He saves sinners. And the devil, of course, would tempt us to disbelieve that. And every piece of the armor is strengthening from the Lord, not to disbelieve, but to believe. And then we have been, by God's grace, taught what His will is for us, what He commands us. Ten Commandments, the commands of Christ, and the Sermon on the Mount, all of that material that is the expression from God in human terms of what we are to do and not do in keeping with His character and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been told that. So then, of course, what the devil wants is for us to disobey that. And so then, of course, every piece of armor is strengthening from the Lord against disobeying His commands. And so it's not, as far as I can tell, an imposing on the doctrine of the whole armor of God, some artificial construction. This is arisen from study of each of these concepts to where we see every piece of armor in the panoply. Remember, that's the English word derived from the Greek word panoplia, about the whole armor, pan, opla. Every piece of armor in the panoply, in the whole armor, every piece is for the same purpose, that we may be strengthened against temptation to disbelieve the truth of the gospel that we've been taught, and strengthened against temptation to disobey the commands of Christ that we have been taught. And I didn't realize that going in. I didn't understand that going in, but I remember getting, that starting to dawn on me near the beginning, when one of the authors, Gernall, the Christian in Complete Armor, said there is a connectedness to all the pieces. They all hang together. And it started to dawn on me, all these pieces are to the same purpose. Well, of course all the pieces are to the same purpose. The whole armor is to a purpose, and therefore every piece is to the same purpose. That by these different ways of thinking, these different things to consider about our Lord Jesus, by all these different things described here, by all the graces of Jesus Christ, the ones listed here and the others, by all these graces worked in us by His Spirit, also that we actively are to seek, to chase after, to put on, these things that we are to walk in, all of them are to strengthen us against the temptations from the devil to disbelieve the truth about Christ and disobey His commands. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil. That is, by these different methods or means described here, have the full ability that God provides to believe the truth from the Scriptures instead of disbelieving it, and to obey the commands in the Scriptures instead of disobeying. And from today, because of salvation. All right, let's pray over this and be done for now.